I want to thank Shankarananda for coming down and helping with the music. This is truly an auspicious day. What a way to bring in the new year. I want to tell you that I love every one of you. And just the way you are. When I was 18 years old, I arrived at Tiruvannamalai. In those days, they didn't have jet planes. It was a propeller plane. I purchased flowers and a bag of fruit to bring to Ramana. I took the rickshaw to the ashram. It was about 8:30 a.m. I entered the hall, and there was Ramana on his couch, reading his mail. It was after breakfast. I brought the fruit and the flowers over and laid it at his feet. There was a guardrail in front of him to prevent fanatics from attacking him with love. And then I sat down in front of him. He looked at me and smiled, and I smiled back. I have been to many teachers, many saints, many sages. I was with Nisargadatta, Anandamayi Ma, Papa Ramdas, Neem Karoli Baba, and many others. But never did I meet anyone who exuded such compassion, such love, such bliss as Ramana Maharshi. There were about 30 people in the room. He looked at me and asked me if I had eaten breakfast. I said no. He spoke some Tamil to the attendant, and the attendant came back with two giant leaves, one with fruit and one with some porridge with pepper. After I consumed the food, I just lie down on the floor. I was very tired. It was time for his usual walk. He had arthritis in the legs. I could hardly walk at that time. His attendants helped him to get up. And he walked out the door. When he was outside, he said something to his attendants. And his attendants motioned for me to come. He guided me to a little shack that I was going to use while I might stay there. He came inside with me. And I bet you think we spoke about profound subjects. On the contrary, he was a natural man. He was the self of the universe. He asked me how my trip was, and where I was from, what made me come here. Then he said I should rest. So I lay down on the cot and he left. I was awakened about 5 o'clock. It was Ramon again. He came by himself. And he brought me food. Can you imagine that? We spoke briefly. I ate and I slept. The next morning I went into the hall. After the morning chanting, there was breakfast. Then everybody sat around just watching Ramana. And he'd go through his routine. He would go through the mail and read it out loud. Talk to some of his devotees. And I just observed everything. His composure never changed. Never did I see such compassion, such love. Then people started to come over to him asking him questions. His replies were very succinct. They weren't like you read in the book. Apparently, what you read in the book is his reply to 3 or 4 people. They condensed it all into one question and answer. But people usually ask a question or make a statement. If he agreed, he would nod or say yes. That's it. If he didn't, he would offer an explanation in maybe 1 or 2 sentences. There were foreigners at the ashram when I was there, Muslims, Catholic priests, people from all races and all nationalities. The devotees would sit around and say nothing. But the seekers and the disciples would ask questions. When I was there a week or so, 2 of his disciples was sort of jokingly arguing with him about something in Tamil. I asked the interpreter what they were talking about. He said Ramana's couch is covered with lice and he refuses to let us kill them. They climb over his body and his legs and he doesn't care. He even feeds them. We want to exterminate the couch, but he won't let us. So the next day they tricked him. When he went outside for his morning walk, they sprayed his couch with DDT. When he came back, he smelled the couch. And he smiled. He jokingly said, "Someone has tricked me." He never got angry, never got mad. I don't think he knew what the words meant. A couple of weeks later, there was a German lady who had come to the ashram. And apparently she'd made a donation of some kind. But she wasn't happy for some reason. She was complaining to Ramana. And he just kept silent. I again asked the interpreter, "What does she want?" The interpreter said, "She wants her donation back." She wants to go home back to Germany. So she started to argue. Everything is going on in front of Ramana. She started to argue with one of the managers of the ashram. And Ramana just looked. Then Ramana said in English, "Give her back a donation and add 50 rupees to it." Which they did, and she left. This was his nature. He never saw anything wrong. He never took anyone out of his love. No matter what they did, who they were, where their ego was, he understood. And loved everyone just the same. We're also celebrating the birth of Jesus this month. He was never born this month, but we're celebrating it anyway. Ramana used to quote from the scriptures. Jesus and Ramana said basically the same things. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." Ramana said, "The self is within you. Search for it and find it and awaken." Jesus said, "Son, I am with you always, and all that I have is yours." Ramana said, "I can never leave you. I am always with you." His compassion never left him. 6 months prior to his leaving his body, I went to Bangalore to see Papa Ramdas. I was informed that he left his body. I went back to Tiruvannamalai, but the crowds had already started to come, thousands of people. So I climbed the hill and went into one of the caves, stayed there for 5 days. When I came down, the crowds were dispersed. He had already been interned. I inquired of his devotee, Pusan, last, what were the last words he spoke? The devotee said, while he was leaving his body, a peacock flew on top of the hall and started screeching. And Ramana remarked to his devotee, has anyone fed the peacock yet? And those were the last words he spoke. Now let's talk about you. Think of the problems you believe you have. Think of the nonsense that you go on with every day. Think how furious you become. How you always want to stick up for your rights as if you had any. The problem is you think. If you would only stop thinking, you say, how can I function if I stop thinking? Very well, thank you. As a matter of fact, you would function much better than you do now. For you will always be taken care of. The universe loves you. It will always supply you with your needs. Forget about other people, what they do and what they don't do. Do not listen to malicious gossip. Be yourself. Understand who you really are. You are the absolute reality, unconditioned consciousness. Work from that standpoint. Do not work from your problems. Do not get lost in meaningless gossip. Understand your true reality. Be yourself. What Ramana taught was not new. Ramana simply taught the Upanishads. Who am I has been around since time immemorial. If a teacher always tells you they have something new to teach you, be careful, because there's nothing new under the sun. Ramana simply revised the who am I philosophy and made it simple for people in the 20th century. But what did he teach? He simply taught that you are not the body-mind principle. He simply taught that if you have a problem, do not feel sorry for yourself. Do not go to psychiatrists. Do not condemn yourself. Simply ask yourself, to whom does this problem come? And of course the answer will be, the problem comes to me. Hold on to the me. Follow the me to the source, the substratum of all existence. How do you do that? How do you hold on to me? How do you hold on to I? By simply asking yourself, who am I? What am I? The same thing. What am I? Asking yourself again and again. Who am I? Forget about time. Forget about space. Forget everything. Keep yourself in thinking. When the thoughts come, ask yourself, to whom comes the thoughts? Again, they come to me. Hold on to the me. I think these thoughts. Well then, who am I who thinks these thoughts? Who am I? An easier way to do this, I have found, is to simply say to yourself, I. And you will notice as you do this, the I goes deeper, deeper, deeper within you, into your heart center, right to the source. For Westerners, I have found that saying I seems to be more helpful than who am I. Again, do not look at time. Do not ask yourself when is something going to happen. A devotee went to Ramana and said, I've been with you for 25 years, doing who am I, nothing has happened yet. So Ramana said, try it another 25 and see what happens. Forget about time. Forget about when something is going to happen. Even if nothing happens in this life, you're ahead of the game. For if you've been sincere, and if you've really been working on yourself, you will come back to an environment that is conducive for your realization. And at that time, you may have realization when you're about 12, 13 years old. Because you've earned it. But if you're like most people and go around minding everybody's business and saying, I have no time to do this, I've tried it for 2 hours and it doesn't work, then you keep coming back again and again and again, going through all kinds of experiences, until one day, maybe 10,000 years from now, you may actually get it and start working on yourself diligently, which you should be doing now. What do you do with yourself all day long? Think. from the moment you get out of bed, how does your day go? Do you think of God at all? Do you practice? Or do you think about your affairs and your body? Be honest with yourself. If you're not making any headway in spiritual life, it's because you're not putting anything into it. You have to realize that whatever you see in the world is only a reflection of yourself. If people are mean to you, if they abuse you, it is because you're seeing yourself as those people. In other words, you've got those qualities. I recall going back to the story of Romana and the German lady. When he gave her back her donation plus some more rupees, the following afternoon, a devotee asked him, "Romana, why did you do that?" And Romana explained, "When she gave us a donation, to whom do you think she gave it to? She gave it to herself. Well, there's only one self. When she took it back, she took it away from herself. When she goes back to Germany, I'm sure she'll have financial problems until she learns that anything you give is only giving to yourself. For there's not two or three or four selves. There's only one self. And this includes everything you do in your life. The way you look at another person. You're simply seeing yourself. And this is why the only thing I can do for you is to love you, because I love myself, and you are myself. When I say I love myself, I am not referring to Robert. When I use the word self, I'm referring to infinity, to omnipresence. It includes everything on this universe. So when I love myself, I am obviously loving everyone and everything that exists. I also realize that everything that exists is a projection of my own mind. So I do not identify with the images. I identify with the source, with consciousness, with absolute reality, with ultimate oneness, with nirvana, with emptiness. While I'm talking to you, I realize I'm talking to myself. Because again, there's only one self. If you can only remember that in your dealings with others, whichever way you deal with anyone else, you're doing it to yourself. Can you see now why a person like Ramana could never hate anyone or be angry? It wasn't in his nature. How do you react to life? When a person displeases you, what do? Curse him or her? Become angry? Become violent? How do you handle it? How do you react? Be honest with yourself. It's the only way. Start from where you are. No human being is perfect. We all make mistakes. Do not feel sorry for yourself. But start from where you are. Where are you? You are consciousness. This is your true nature. Learn to love everything. Learn to see only the good. Realize there's a reason for everything. If a person displeases you, simply look the other way and forget it. Learn to stop your mind from thinking. And you do this by immediately catching yourself when you react to a condition. And inquiring within yourself, who is becoming angry? Who feels out of sorts? I do? I. Realize you're dealing with a personal I. And all the anger, all the frustration, all the karma, all the samskaras are all attached to that personal I. Consequently, when you get rid of the personal I, everything else will go with it. So don't try to solve your problems. Do not try to become a better person. Do not try to run away from your life. Simply see who it is who is running, who it is who needs to be a better person. Who has all these problems? I. Always I. Hold on to that I with all of your might. But do not concentrate on the I. You concentrate on the source, which is consciousness, God. And everybody asks me over and over again, and I keep telling you, they ask me, how do I hold on to the I? By asking, who am I? Or just saying, I. Automatically, you will notice the I going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper within your heart. And one day you will become free. But you are already free. Why not wake up right now? Why go through anything? Everybody is different. If this appears too difficult for you, if vichara appears hard, then your next best bet is to surrender completely to God. Surrender everything. Your problems, your ego, your body, your mind, your work, your world. Say, here, God, take it. I want no more of this. I am yours. Do with me as you will. Thy will be done. This means you no longer have anything to worry about if you truly surrender. You will immediately become radiantly happy. For you have given your ego to God. And what's left is God. You have no body. You have no mind. You have no work. You have no problems. It has been your ego all of the time fooling you, making you believe that something is wrong. And you've been playing hide and seek, trying to find God here, there, and everywhere. That was a nice song. When all the time God was within yourself, as yourself. Begin to see the truth. Begin to stand up tall. Become fearless. Become strong. Leave the world alone. It will take care of itself. There's a mysterious power that guides the world to its right destiny. It doesn't need any help from you. If you're meant to do certain work in the world, it will be done. But you have nothing to do with that. It doesn't mean that you have to leave your job or go sit in a cave or give up your life. Wherever you are right now is where you're supposed to be. Just feel, I am not the doer. And your work will go on. Do not be attached to your work. Do not react to any situation or any condition. Be yourself. Focus your attention on consciousness, and your body will go on doing whatever it came here to do. Everything is preordained. Even when I raise my finger like this, it's preordained. Do not be egotistical to believe that you have any power over everybody or anybody, or that you are the doer. It's a privilege to have been born on this earth. And the reason you have been born is to find your real self. Go for it. Do it. And become free. I don't know why I talk so much. It doesn't do you any good. I always want to sit in the silence, but sometimes we have some new people. And they didn't understand the silence yet. So I keep on chatting. I wonder if I know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter anyway. Any questions?
What is the relationship between effort and realization? Since effort, only the ego is doing this effort, how could the ego doing this effort?
What you call effort has been preordained.
Self-inquiry is an ego doing effort.
Self-inquiry is the ego trying to find the self as the self. So the effort is brought on through your karma so that you may become self-realized. It's a privilege to have been able to find in this life the method of self-inquiry. Therefore, it's been predestined that you should make the effort to find yourself.
Does that effort, I mean, since God, realization is something that really is like an effortless presence, how could it be?
When you get on the path correctly, after a while it becomes effortless. In the beginning, there seems to be a little effort you have to take because you're breaking away from your old patterns. And as you continue, it becomes effortless, easier and easier. It becomes a pleasure. It becomes a joy. And you're always doing it effortlessly. So the effort is only in the beginning stages. It's not really effort, but when you break into a new habit, the old wants to still stay there and take over. So you sort of have to push it out as you inquire, to whom does it come? Who feels miserable? And as you keep practicing and practicing, it becomes effortless. And pretty soon you do not have to do anything. It just happens by itself. You become happier and happier, more peaceful, and your life becomes a joy to others and to yourself.
How about the false? I'm confusing the false eye with the true eye, is that?
There's only one eye, but for the sake of conversation, we say there's a personal eye, which is your ego. The only confusion is you're identifying with the personal eye instead of the real eye. The real eye is absolute reality, pure intelligence, Para Brahman, Satchit Ananda. And that is the real I. And you have a choice. With whom am I going to identify with? Identify with yourself, with consciousness. And there'll be no question of two eyes. But again, when you begin, it is your ego as I that you're working with. Who am I? Means the ego. Who is this ego? Where did it come from? Who gave it birth? Why does it exist? And then you will realize why I gave it birth by believing in it. I created my ego myself. I did all this. And it begins to change. The personal I becomes weaker and consciousness becomes stronger until the personal I disappears altogether and you become free. So do not keep identifying with the personal I. Hold on to it. Follow it by asking, what is I? Who am I? The mind as I gives you the problem. And when the mind as I goes, everything else goes with it. All of your past teachings, the world, the universe, God, reincarnation, karma. You become free of the whole mess and you awaken. So again, every system is a projection of the mind. You have to be present to do the work. Whereas in this teaching, we get rid of the you that does the work. So if the you is gone, there's no work to be done. In other words, who has to meditate? I do. There has to be somebody present for you to meditate. Instead of meditating, ask yourself, who meditates? And the answer will be, I do. Then who am I? And the light will come on, and you'll be free. Once the I goes, there's nobody left to do any spiritual work. For you become consciousness. You become absolute reality. Omnipresent. Infinite. Excuse me? Those are progressive systems. And I suppose most people need those things. They're good. There's nothing wrong with these things. But the direct path is vichara. You bypass everything.
In the case of the man that spent 25 years with the monarch who didn't understand anything, was he not going through stages?
On the contrary. He's just there, he's at peace with himself, and when the time is right for him, he will awaken. There are no stages to go through. As long as he's present.
That brings up this question then, because if you were practicing, if someone would just come to you and they never heard these teachings before they start practicing, the first thing they have to do is recognize that they have a mind. They have to recognize God for them. When they recognize that, when they have a herd of horses going through, a stampede, they see that there's a stampede. So for a while, for the Atmavichara, for the who am I to work, then we have to slow down that stampede by working persistently with it. So that's a progressive stage in a way. And then there's emotions involved, and feelings and sensations that come up.
And all of this
for a person to be able to cut through has to evolve, so that's some work on them.
How do you know?
Because I've been through it.
So that means everybody goes through it?
Well, looking at the average human being, I would say absolutely.
There are some people who just awaken. There are some people who go through stages. There are some people who do a lot of work. There are some people who practice meditation and mantras all day long. There are some people who do nothing and they awaken.
Yeah, but there won't people like that, or very few, like Ramana. Ramana was an exception.
Well, then learn how to do it and become like Ramana. Practice what Ramana practice. And you too can be an exception. Why should you identify with the other? Identify with Ramana's practice. He said the same thing. Why go to the trouble to go through yoga practices? You'll come back life after life after life and keep practicing yoga. Find out who's practicing and become free. Doesn't that sound reasonable? All you have to do is to find out who's practicing. Who needs to do all these things? I do. Well, who am I? Where did I come from? I. And get rid of that I and you're home free.
Identification with the body, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Confusing the body with the thoughts.
What about it?
Identification. When there's pain, you're just involved in the pain, not the reality.
The reality is not the pain. The body is in pain. But you are not the body. So if you stick to your true self, you will hardly feel the pain. Let the body take care of itself. Do not concern yourself with the body. The body will still eat. It will still go to the bathroom. It will still take a shower. It will still take care of itself. But you have absolutely nothing to do with it. You are not the body. So why identify with the pain? Identify with consciousness, with the self, and then see what happens. This is why when people like Ramana and Ramakrishna were dying, especially Ramakrishna, he literally wasted away. And they used to tell him, the same like did Ramana, Master, heal yourself. We've seen you heal others, heal yourself. And the answer would always be the same. You foolish people, what do you see? Who sees a sick body? There is no body to be sick. What are you looking at? Change your identification. See the truth. That's why Jesus was able to say, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. For he realized he was consciousness, not the body. Not what appears to be real. Everything that most of you are looking at right now is an appearance. It is not the truth. There is another world of reality where there is only perfection, love, bliss, joy. with whom are you identifying? The choice is yours.
The idea seems to be such a deeply ingrained habit, it seems like the primary addiction. So it seems like all other addictions come out of the addiction of I.
Yes.
I is the ego addiction, is the primary.
Indeed. Correct.
That's the problem. It's just so addicting. Maybe we.
As you keep referring back to yourself and saying, who am I? The I becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. Eventually it has to disappear. And then you're free.
It's funny that you could, sometimes I feel a little loosened up and a little abiding. And then other times it's all forgotten and back to the ego again.
That's how it appears to work. But as you continue practicing and practicing and practicing, the day will come when you're home free. That's why I said, do not look at time. Even if it takes more than a lifetime, you're still ahead of the person going bowling.
Because even when you see the thoughts moving and you see how identified you are, it's almost like the ego enjoys this. I mean, it's like it enjoys resisting the peace, silence, and intelligence. It seems to, it's so used to this that it seems to like its own suffering.
Well, are you talking from the standpoint of the ego or the self?
From the ego.
So ask yourself, who's going through all this? Who's suffering? To whom does it come? Identify with the source, not with the ego. Do not go into all the details of what the ego does. Go into the details of where the self is. Pure intelligence. Absolute awareness. Satchitananda, Parabrahman, speak of those things and let the ego take care of itself.
It's funny, the ego doesn't seem to want all that.
No, you don't want all that because you refuse to identify with those higher things. You keep talking about the ego over and over again as if it were a power. But it doesn't even exist. It's a non-entity.
I guess I'm possessed.
You're possessed by God. You can never get away from God no matter how hard you try.
I've been trying with all my might.
Maybe that's the problem. Just observe and watch. Stop trying. Watch your mind in action. Observe your thoughts. Become the witness. And then you'll say, ah, look what's happening to me. Am I that? Of course not. Then it will become easier for you.
It's really embarrassing to watch your mind because you feel like you should be committed to a mental institution. It's total nonsense. Total crazy.
Again, to whom is it embarrassing? It's embarrassing to the ego. The ego watches, the ego is embarrassed, and the ego fights back. But you do not react to it. Do not react. Watch, observe, and ask the question, to whom does it come? That's all you've got to do. And everything else will take care of itself.
Watching it breaks that identification.
Observing.
It's funny that when as soon as you forget to observe it, you melt into the identification of it, you know, so easily. melt into the identification of the ego. And then that's what's wonderful about inquiry, then it's a great fit.
Don't get caught up in too many details. Make it simple. Very simple. The simpler the better.
I think part of the problem is, speak for myself, of course, is that I don't believe it'll happen. I feel it happens just to a favored few like Jesus or Buddha or yourself. And I think that, in my case anyway, what's the sense of almost trying if it's not going to happen?
Well, if you don't feel it's going to happen, what can you do? Go see a movie. You've got to realize you are greater than you think. And you've got the same power within you as everybody else does. It may appear to be asleep. But as you work on yourself, work on yourself, work on yourself, you will awaken it. And one day it will become stronger than you are and take you over completely. And you'll be free. But you've got to keep on working on yourself. And stop putting yourself down. That's the worst thing you can do, is to put yourself down. That's blasphemy. Because you're putting God down. Think of yourself as a higher person. Love yourself. Worship yourself. Bow to yourself. You are greater than you think.
Well, at first, when you were speaking to Bob, you said to make things simple. Follow the self inquiry of who am I? And at the same time, another time you said, don't make it like a mantra if you keep saying like I or who am I am me. If you know, if you get caught in like a circular, or for me, I got caught in a circular, you know, answer and question thing. So it became, you said, you know, you said not to make it like a mantra.
Who am I is never a mantra. You simply observe yourself, ask yourself the question, to whom do these things come? To me? Then say, who am I? Or I. It's not a mantra. As you keep doing it to yourself, you will awaken.
Even if I do the question and answer, even though I came into like a circle of three questions with three answers, and I kept going around and around, so it's not a mantra.
No, it's not.
So just the self-inquiry.
But you can ask yourself, to whom do these things come? To whom do the three questions come? There has to be a person to experience the three questions. Get rid of that person, and you'll be free.
Then I would be breaking self-inquiry if I got rid of the me. To whom do these questions come?
Self-inquiry is only for the ego.
Well, I'm like Bob and I've got the ego.
Keep practicing.
Like breaking it down.
Keep practicing.
Okay.
And you'll break it down.
Gail, Robert often said when you ask yourself the question, don't answer. And so, because when you answer, that's just the mind. When you ask, who am I? Just rest.
Robert Gardner, is consciousness observing all the self-inquiry?
consciousness is self-contained. It has nothing to do with self-inquiry. Only the ego does.
So why do we have to do self-inquiry?
Because you have to use the ego to get rid of the ego.
Consciousness is noticing all of your self-inquiry.
It doesn't notice anything. As you practice self-inquiry, your mind will disappear and your true self will come forth all by itself.
But is not true self here now?
Yes. You will awaken to it. But you don't believe it is. So you're practicing self-inquiry.
How do you treat
another term for the heart is consciousness. So the heart is really consciousness. You simply inquire, who am I? It takes care of itself. The I becomes weaker and weaker and disappears.
Attention then should always be focused on the source.
On the source.
When you hold on to the I, that's just a way of focusing attention on the source from which the I arises.
Yes, when I say hold on to the I mean you're witnessing the I. You're watching it. You're watching where it goes.
From whence it arises.
From whence it came from. And where it goes back to.
When you say that consciousness or God dwells in you as you, that as you is not referring then to the ego.
No, it's referring to consciousness.
It's referring to, it's redundant, really.
Yes. Consciousness is your true existence. And there's nothing else. Everything else we talk about, everything else we do is to make you realize that your true nature is consciousness. Then everything becomes redundant. But we have to talk like this because you believe you're human. You believe you're the body. When will you stop believing that? Time to eat.
Time is preordained. We have nothing to do with the time.
Tell him.
That was a joke.
Robert, if a person believes that they are happy in this alleged consciousness,
all of these things that you're referring to is a projection of your mind. You create your universe and you create your world. And you create the trees and the bowling and everything else. So get rid of your mind and everything else will go.
It won't be
any tree. You'll be the tree. It will be everything you like.
So that's really the ego and entertainment.
Yes. You can say that, yes. You bring fresh flowers into your room and then they die in a couple of days. So how can that be real? Everything you fall in love with gets old and dies. So how can you say that's real? Contact reality and you will always be happy. Okay, let's eat.
Actually, what, before we eat, Robert wants to hand out stuff to everybody.
I do?
Yeah.
Thanks for letting Robert know.
Where is it?
It's what's here. He had to go?
I thought I was going to be first because of Pete.
You're always first.
Thanks, buddy.